Jason, the Bears have traded DJ Moore. We'll talk about that and more coming up on Halas Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, it is Thursday afternoon, and the Bears have traded DJ Moore to the Buffalo Bills. They are going to include a fifth-round pick in this year's draft and get a second-round pick in return. That will be number 60 overall. Are you surprised?
Yes. Yeah, I don't think if you had told me during last season or at the very end of last season, DJ Moore would get traded, I believe before his contract has even started, the extension that he signed, I would have bet against that. And even last week, Patrick, at the Combine, when they were talking about the possibility of trading DJ Moore, I still would have said less than 50% chance. A little less surprising, maybe, after what we heard last week about them being open to this idea, but still seemed unlikely. He is a very valuable player. Buffalo got themselves a very valuable wide receiver, a very good and consistent and multi-talented wide receiver in this trade. But the Bears got a lot too. Why don't you explain to everybody what this adds to their offseason resources?
This adds $16.5 million in cap room. They're still going to owe him a little bit, I believe, from the bonus that they paid him when they extended his deal 2 years ago. That is a real thing. And you combine that with Tremaine Edmonds likely being gone, and that's $31.5 million right there. But it also gives them a second round pick. And to me, that's what is so compelling about this. Number one, I didn't expect him to get a two. This is pretty good.
No, me neither.
Pretty good get, I think. And what it does is it enables them to do a couple of different things. One of them is they could keep the pick, have three picks in the top 60, and I think five in the top 90-ish. And in rounds one and two, draft a left tackle, a defensive tackle, and an edge rusher in no particular order. All three of those guys would be expected to contribute on day one as second round and first round picks are. Or they could use the flexibility they have now with this extra draft pick to make a trade. And there's one big name out there right now, and it's Max Crosby, the Raiders defensive end. If the Raiders really need two ones, having another second makes you feel a little bit better about doing that. Or if you're not going to give the Raiders two ones, having two twos and being able to trade one or both of them gives you an option. It gives you an option today that you didn't have yesterday. That flexibility, financially and otherwise, I think is really important. You and I both think the DJ is a really good player, but I think the Bears made out pretty good here.
I think this is similar to a conversation that you and I had last time we recorded a podcast here of, in a vacuum, do you want DJ Moore on your team? Yes, he's a positive. But would you accept losing a player at this position, wide receiver, to address a major need at another position? Well, then maybe. You know, if I tell you, like, I think the hypothetical I was having with you is, you know, could you give up Cole Kmet if it means you get Tyler Linderbaum? It's kind of like that. It's kind of like, could you accept that you're going to be down a pretty good player at wide receiver, but now you have the flexibility to address defensive end? And it might not be Max Crosby, but now you've got the money to afford possibly, you know, Khalil Mack or Trey Hendrickson or somebody else that addresses that defensive end position that has just been such a problem for the Bears. I think I like Ben Johnson's chances better trying to scrap something together at wide receiver than scrap something together at defensive end. And I do think, as you mentioned with Max Crosby, I do think the Raiders will get two firsts for Max Crosby. Why wouldn't they? The Cowboys just got two firsts for and a pretty good player for Micah Parsons. Max Crosby is pretty much on that level. Max Crosby is a dynamo pass rusher in his prime, and somebody is going to give them two first-round picks for it. It's hard still for me to pull the trigger on that part of it if I'm the Bears, even now that you would likely, with some other moves, be able to afford Max Crosby. But like you said, you know, we're talking about if you give up your first this year, it's the 25th pick overall, and you're intending for your first next year to be 25th or worse, and you've got an extra second now, second round pick to negate some of the damage if you give up two first rounders for Max Crosby. Now it is at least on the table. I don't think that could have been on the table before the DJ Moore trade, where, especially as you said, they are surprisingly getting a second round pick back.
Yeah. And you also have this too, which is so strange for a Bears team. They're deep at wide receiver. This is probably the position group where they could most afford to lose somebody. They have Rome Odunze, who was first round pick 2 years ago. They have Luther Burden, who was the second round pick last year. And they have Colston Loveland, who, if you want to call him a pass catcher and not a tight end, they used the number 10 overall pick on last year. Those are three guys who should be the predominant pass catchers on this team for the next 4 years, three years at least with Rome. They didn't really need DJ Moore. If he was going to cost them $24.5 million in cap space, if everything goes the way the Bears hope it goes, he would have been the third receiver probably on this team. You know, Luther Burden, I was looking at some stats from the end of last season when Luther Burden and Colston Loveland really started to come on. From week 14 on, Burden had the 11th most receiving yards among all NFL wide receivers, and six of the 10 guys in front of him were Pro Bowl players. Loveland was fourth in receiving yards among tight ends, and one of the three in front of him was a Pro Bowler. These are guys who spent the back half of last season as among the best in the league, and they were among the best in the league with DJ Moore on the field. It's not like DJ got hurt, so they had to fill in. You know, the way I get into my story in the Sun-Times today, Jason, is that fans who are curious how this pass game is going to look without DJ Moore don't have to look very far. They can look at the handful of games last year in which DJ was just a statistical non-entity with the Bears. You know, he had a game with no receiving yards and a game with seven and a game with negative four. You know, in many ways, the Bears devoted all of these assets to collect pass catchers so they could do this if they had to. Keeping DJ was a luxury and not a necessity. And I think that's why you saw that trade get made today.
Well, and now to your point, it better work. yeah. Rome Odunze and Colston Loveland better be Pro Bowl level players right now. And both of them have shown the potential that they very well could be. And with that, Luther Burden better be really good. Second round pick, was he 39th overall in that draft? He better play like a near first round pick now in year two, not just a gadget player. If that happens, then I think you're largely okay at wide receiver. You would just need to find, you know, what they typically need to find, which is a third guy and a fourth guy. That's not the end of the world. It is interesting when you look at the long-term path at wide receiver here. You mentioned that this is a rare situation for them to have a surplus. When Ryan Poles took over, all they really had at wide receiver was Darnell Mooney. And then did they have DJ Moore and Mooney together?
For a year, for 1 year.
They had Moore and Mooney and Claypool together. And so they thought they had solved that problem. Claypool was the complete zero, like the worst move probably of Ryan Poles' tenure. Mooney kind of declined and then left in free agency. And then you're just left with Moore again. And you build back up. You solve those problems again because you have drafted Rome Odunze and you have drafted Luther Burden, 39th overall. So now you got a pretty good wide receiver room again with those three. Now it looks different and it looks fine if Rome Odunze is going to play like the player you expect when you draft him 9th overall. When you draft somebody in the first round, you're thinking this guy's going to be, you are as a team are projecting, this guy's going to be a Pro Bowl, All-Pro type guy. for us at whatever position. This is going to be a guy that we will have no problem signing to a second contract after 3 or 4 years, depending on what round. After 4 years for first round pick. When you draft somebody in the top 10, you're projecting, you're thinking this guy is a potential Hall of Fame type player. This is going to be an elite, elite, game-changing player. Romo Dunze has been very good, but he hasn't been that yet by his own admission. He's pretty frustrated that he hasn't taken those steps faster. This is the time for him to do that. And if Romo Dunze is out there playing like a slam dunk, no doubt, number one wide receiver, and Colston Loveland is out there playing like a top three tight end, a really difficult cover for any team, and Luther Burden is playing well, just solid, really good number two receiver, 700 yards, something like that, then this is all fine. But if that doesn't happen, you will miss DJ Moore, who is 1,000 yards a season machine, other than last year in Ben Johnson's offense, first year with a lot of different playmakers out there, the ball being spread around. DJ Moore's value to the Bears, the potential of what Ben Johnson could do with a player like that, is so much higher than what we saw in the first season, because DJ Moore is probably the smartest wide receiver they had, the toughest wide receiver they had, the one with the most different capabilities. You remember, he's playing running back, and he's not just like playing running back here and there. DJ Moore knows all the plays from the running back position. He's that smart. He's that good, that reliable of a player. This is somebody that Ben Johnson knew that he could count on. And you are letting him leave and hoping that these other guys turn into players that you can count on.
Why do you think it didn't work out with Caleb Williams? The fact that the DJ's best season came with Justin Fields at quarterback, I just find particularly bizarre. And, you know, I was thinking about it today. I mean, do you remember what did DJ call Caleb when we were in London? The day before, or a couple days before,
bossy. They played.
Bossy. And I don't want to say they had bad chemistry, because they didn't. They're friends, but it seemed like it kind of didn't take off the way you would have expected. I'm curious if you have your theories why.
Well, the ultimate example of their bad chemistry on the field was the final play, the interception against the Rams, where. Let me just say this for the millionth time. This isn't a case of DJ Moore bailing on a play or being lazy, taking a play off. This is a miscommunication between the two that was incredibly costly, where Caleb is wanting DJ Moore to break off his route. DJ Moore is not picking up on that until too late. And then when he does pick up on it, he kind of freezes as he tries to adjust. And it's just the whole thing has gone to garbage at that point. That wasn't the only one of those they had in 2 years. There were quite a few. We were talking about this a lot during Caleb's rookie season, that they were just not on the same page. DJ wants the ball here, but Caleb throws it here on this type of route. And DJ would always just say, okay, I got to adjust to the way Caleb does it. But he never really did. Now, that being said, Caleb Williams' numbers haven't been that great his first two seasons overall. So really no wide receiver or pass catcher has put up monster numbers over the last two seasons. But I think the potential for Caleb to play a lot better and for DJ to play a lot better with him was there going into 2026. But if they're going to give you a second round pick that allows you to replace him, and they're going to take his massive salary cap number, I mean, that puts the Bears in pretty good position here.
Yeah, it's real stuff. A second round pick is real stuff. And I think the Bears made out pretty well here. Jason, he's always going to be remembered for a couple of things. You mentioned the play at the end that was the interception that lost them more or less the home game against the Rams. But there's also the walk-off touchdown against the Packers that might be as important a play as has been made here in 10 years. Do you think that what is his legacy here? I know he was just traded out a couple hours ago, but is that part of the legacy too? Is you know, the highs and the lows, you know, kind of the head scratchers, but also the flair to do something pretty amazing every once in a while.
I think his legacy is going to be a guy who was just reliable no matter what was going on at quarterback, whether it was Justin Fields playing poorly, whether it was the downs out of Caleb Williams' ups and downs, or the offensive line's inability to block in 2024, speeding up the passing game, making it have to be really quick. I think DJ Moore finding a way to produce pretty much throughout will it be his legacy, not only in Chicago, but as a player in general. And pretty good for DJ Moore to end up in Buffalo, of all places, where he's with an MVP-winning quarterback and on a good team, a team that is expecting to contend this year. I think that DJ Moore, you know, for at least the next 2 or 3 years is going to have a really good run in Buffalo.
Yeah.
With Josh Allen.
And Joe Brady. Joe Brady knows him from their time in Carolina too.
Yes. If DJ Moore can put up 1,000 yards here in the, you know, regularly with all the quarterbacks that the Panthers cycled through, and with Justin Fields and with Caleb Williams playing as a rookie, and he can just keep, imagine what he's going to do with Josh Allen. He's probably going to be worth every penny of this trade for Buffalo. And that's okay, as long as the Bears have some answer to that. You don't want to be sitting here, if you're the Bears, just drooling over DJ Moore putting up monster seasons and winning a ton of games with the Bills. What you want is to see that happen. Good for DJ, but also, by the way, Romo Odunze was an all-pro this year.
And maybe the guy you were able to afford because you traded DJ is having a good year for you too. Yeah, I mean, that's the plan. I don't think the Bears make this move without having very, very concrete ideas of what they're going to do next with that money. And, you know, the question I think becomes just how quickly they get that done. I think you and I agree that Tremaine Edmonds is going to get cut before the start of the league year on Monday. They have a chance to sign Kevin Byard between now and then. They want to. And they have a chance to explore trades. So we'll see what the next step is. I think, you know, I've already read 2 or 3 stories trying to give this trade a grade on both sides. And the general thought, nationally at least, is that the Bears did pretty well for themselves. But I'm not going to grade this trade until I know what the Bears do with the money that they saved. If they do something significant with it, I think that only increases the importance of what they did today. And if they don't, then they're literally just, you know, it's the equivalent of going to the pawn shop to pay your bills. I would not feel good about that. If they use that money toward something that will put them over the top and not just bring back the same cast of characters, I'd be a lot better with that.
Yeah, everything we've been talking about this with their whole offseason, everything is interconnected. Do you want DeAndre Swift? Yes. Do you want Cole Kmet? Yes. Do you want DJ Moore? Yes. Do you want Tremaine Edmonds? Yes. But there's ripple effects of unloading those numbers that allow you to bring in somebody else. And so it's not just yes or no on these guys. It's not just red light, green light on DJ Moore. It's, well, do you want DJ Moore, or do you want, you know, stacking up that cap space to go get a pass rusher, whoever that might be, whether, even if it's not Max Crosby, a premier pass rusher to pair with Montez Sweat to fix what has been the biggest problem other than quarterback during the Ryan Poles era. It does hinge entirely, Pat, on what they're able to do. But I will still say, you know, you go into this past week where crazy things have happened now. Drew Dahlman retires and DJ Moore is traded within a span of 3 days. You went into this week where they're really tight on resources versus the amount of needs they have. And this gives them some breathing room, but I don't know if this solves all their problems financially. It probably is going to take a few more moves, at least some restructuring here. Because if you want to bring back Kevin Byard, I couldn't imagine he comes back at the same price. I think he's very, very deserving of a raise and would easily get one from somebody. You need a starting center and a starting left tackle. You need a starting defensive end and a starting linebacker and another safety to pair back there, assuming Byard is back, and maybe another corner. And that's kind of just to break even on the offseason. That's without saying, oh, we're going to go get a major upgrade at running back or at defensive tackle or something like that. So, you know, there's probably a little more coming besides just Tremaine Edmonds and DJ Moore leaving the building. And again, with Drew Dahlman, that's not really a helpful cap move for them. That creates a more expensive problem to solve. That one is a net negative.
You ever had your car hit? And have you ever had your car totaled before?
No.
This happened to my dad last year. He got rear-ended, had his car totaled, but the amount of money they were giving him when they totaled out his car was not enough to buy anything close to the car that he was currently driving. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I look at the Drew Dahlman thing like that is, hey, the good news is we'll pay you out this $10 million insurance policy because he left. The problem is that Drew Dahlmans don't cost $10 million anymore. They cost
exactly
$15. Jason, we'll see. It should be a really entertaining couple of days before the start of the league year on Wednesday and start of legal tampering on Monday. Figure the Bears will have some answers by then at the very latest. You can follow Jason and I all this week. You can check us out at the Sun-Times website, online and in print. And until then, he's Jason Leisure. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.